Like this list. Okay, catalogers, fundraisers. Fundraisers, a lot of these places will give you a better price if you're doing a straight fundraising piece than if you're trying to sell them something. Okay, you can buy net names on this one. You get a minimum of 50,000. 85% plus is, you've got to, I'm sorry, this, it gets complicated. You get running charges.
You're going to have to slow down and talk a little bit slower. I know you get excited about this.
I do.
But for people who've never heard of this, I mean, it just sounds like the toughest thing in the world. To get 5,000 names, you pick up the phone and say, I need 5,000 on the Blanchard list. Or you say, you call a list broker like Karen and you say, look, I'm doing a test on this product. It is a tape set or a book set of informational ideas that I want to sell to people, probably over 40 or 50. But who do you suggest? And she'll punch it into her computer and print out a little card that says the Blanchard list.
It's my Macintosh.
It's into her Macintosh. She'll say the Blanchard list, and I can get you 5,000 names at $85 per name. Do you want them on diskette or do you want them on mag tape? And do you want them sorted by age or sex? And really, that's all you need to know. I would recommend that you get the SRDS book because you can look through
and
it.
And the envelope, you did get an envelope for me that has how to order an SRDS. If you want to buy it, you can get it at the library. I mean, they're...
Yeah, if you think, now this is a kind of dry list.
Yeah.
But you can get lists of absolutely everything that's ever been purchased by anybody anywhere, from registration cards, warranty cards, direct mail offers. Some of the stuff in this stuff will amaze you, the fact that you can get lists like that.
That's right. And then when we get done explaining this, we're going to come back and sell you a privacy newsletter because your name's all over the place.
Is that minimum order,
50,000? Yeah, for net names.
What does net names mean?
I don't know how to explain this one. Ted, can you help me on this one?
Well,
it's like, how do you describe a horse? Horse.
Net names are the names after the computer has eliminated the duplicate names.
And they've done a merge purge.
Yeah, and if I may say so, what you're doing a really good job in the technical part. I can tell you in enterprise, I think it's important to suggest to you how you, another way to work with a list manager, a list mm-hmm. broker. What we basically do is say, look, we create a sales piece to sell a given product or we already have one. We call our list broker and we say, Lee, we have this great product and we want to develop a list of 10 different lists to test for the product and we want to roll out on two lists. Here is the mail piece. We fax it to them. We say, look, you tonight stay up till midnight and look through SRDS.
Absolutely. And that's what I do. For the purposes of this illustration, Bill wanted me to work backwards, to go up to down. But
no,
that's
I think
absolutely
it,
how
I
it
think
works.
It's good. I think it's good you're sharing this. But I think from your point of view, you want to know, and here's what we do. If I can just take this a couple more steps. Lee comes back to us with 10 different suggestions for the list. And he sends us a copy of their data cards, you know, what was in the package that Bill put together, the data card. And then we have a conversation with the list broker the next day, and we talk about and justify which list we're going to use or which list we're not going to use, because you are making the decisions. It's your dollars. Your list expert is going to give their opinion, but they're not necessarily right on everything. No one's right on everything. So you have to be...
If your list broker recommends a bad list, you still pay for it. The list broker,
you still pay for it. They don't guarantee it.
That's right.
They don't take it out of their, you know, it's your money on the line. So you have to be convinced that that list, it meets the profile of your product and who you're trying to, your target market. So that's the way we work. We don't get so hung up on all the detail. What we want are fresh names of people that are as close as possible to the target we're reaching for the product we're selling. That's what you want. And that's what you want to get the good mind and experience of the list expert. I like your ideas. I think you have a lot of good ideas you're sharing, and we've never personally worked together. I'm glad to meet you here, but we've worked, as every company does, you normally work with one favorite person that you develop a relationship with. Anyway, I was just sitting here wanting to share that.
That's real helpful, and those are really good. When people call me, they usually have a product that they want me to match a list to. So let's just go on here again. We'll do this real quickly, and we'll go into the next one. Again, you can get it by SCF, zip codes. You get key coding here. Okay, remember when we talked about splits, it's $2, $1,000 extra to do. That's on key coding. It's $1 extra for a split. So you can do an A-B split. You can divide it any way you want, but you can do an A-B split. But when you do that, you get charged a little bit extra for the names. Somebody asked me, and I'll bring it down later, to pass around the Cheshire's and the pressure sensitive. Again, you want to use the impact printing, the direct address, if at all possible. If you're on a really tight budget and you need to go to labels, I'll pass those around so you can look at the difference between hand putting a label on an envelope and having a machine do it with a 4-up Cheshire. But here's the mag tape, and then they have a $20 flat charge. A lot of times you'll have a setup charge for the computer to run whatever it is that you want to run. So, but this profile of this person, I think, is looking pretty attractive to me. What do you think?
No.
Why not? Who said no? Glenn?
Wait for the microphone.
I would want to know more. I would want to know what tape they bought, what book they bought. I want to know more about what they bought and how recent it was. It's not attractive to me.
Okay, but let's look at this list just from a general point of view. Here we've got 82,000 people. They subscribe to newsletters like the Gold Newsletter and Personal Wealth Bulletin. We can determine their age and we can determine their sex. If you know these people subscribe to the Gold Newsletter and Personal Wealth Builder, it gives you some hints about them, right? These people would be probably interested. We know they like to read because they subscribe to newsletters. We know they're either interested in gold or developing personal wealth or keeping what they've already got. I guess there's a lot of hints. These would be a good people to mail a certain type of book to, maybe a high-dollar book to. I don't know if I would try videotapes to them unless I know for sure they bought videotapes, because not everybody, you know, some of the wealthiest people I know don't even own a VCR because they don't watch videotapes. But they have probably the most extensive library I've ever seen.
You know what you could sell them? You could sell them a thing on how to turn on your VCR.
You can sell a black piece of tape just to put over the blinking light. Now, the point is now...
That flash is 12.
Let's do about 30 seconds of brainstorming. Can anybody come up with anything to sell to these people?
You can talk about the lawyer's tape.
Right. The lawyer's tape would be good. How about the man from Atlanta who had the financial... who had the investments? The investments. How about the security tape? How about a protect your assets tape? How about to prevent government eavesdropping and intrusion into your lifestyle? Because if you can resonate with these people, imagine the lifestyle they have. That's what they want.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I want to hear another suggestion here.
Can I ask you a question, Bill? Should we at any time ever rent a list that is older than 90 days?
Karen and I recently bought a house.
Not all lists have that.
And it has a swimming pool. And around April, I guess April 1st, the first warm day of the year, you know what I get in my mailbox? A catalog from a swimming pool supplier.
Cool.
And you know why he knows that's a good list? Because the swimming pool is in the house. So regardless of who's living there, that swimming pool is still there. So a list like that, it doesn't matter if it's 90 days old or 5 years old, that swimming pool is still there in that house. So if you have the right product and that's the only list available, is it just said it had our address and it doesn't matter that it said occupant, because he knows I got a swimming pool. And he's going to send me a catalog for swimming pools, and boy, did he time it right. We're going to talk about timing of offers later on.
Right.
He hit it on the first warm day of the year, and he knew I was going to come home. He hit me on a Friday evening. And the first warm day of the year, I come home, and I look get this catalog on the swimming pool, and I look in the backyard, and there's a swimming pool covered and filled with mud, and I'm thinking, what do I need to do? I need to spend some money, and here's a guy I can spend money with. And that is taking the right list, mailing at the right time to a target audience. You know exactly what they've got to do, and you hit them on the right day. So yes, there are cases when that's the only time you can get that list.
Is it available on is SRDS available either on diskette or optical disc that you can search parameters by?
Well,
you just got to hand search.
Some of the list brokers, and I'm sure it won't be long before Karen does this, provide the diskette in IBM computer format, and you can type in, anytime you type in you can type in CHE, and the software program would immediately go to chemists, or you could type in K-E-N, and it would immediately go to kennels, and there's a very, very abbreviated list of things that you can use on your own computer. Again, the best bet, especially if you're lazy like me, is to call somebody like Karen and say, Karen, this is what I want. This is what Ted does. He does the same thing. And everybody else who does this, because we don't want to fool wasting our time through the SRDS and because we don't know what the new list available today is, we'll call a list broker and say, look, send me a bunch of cards on this.
Yeah.
Those cards that you've got in your handout that I provided you in your little gray folder that said from ListWorks.
Right.
The man who sent me those cards sent them unsolicited. He said, I just received your watch offer. I think that maybe you ought to try these lists. He sent me 60 cards. Because just like any other people who broker lists are looking for clients. I mean, that's what they do for a living.
And the other thing that I want you all to know is, particularly if you're working on limited budgets, is I want to know what you're paying. I want you to know what you're paying for. You know, so that when it says you're paying a setup charge, you're paying an extra for a split, you're paying all these things, I just want you to know how you're spending your money. I mean, that's what it's going for, and that's why it's doing that. Let's move on to, there's another list here that I... We're looking for older people to sell to.
By the way, if you're sitting in the back of the room and can't see this, I'd like for you to come up a little bit closer just to see it for once so you can see what the pages look like on this, because you need to see what it says. Oh, yeah, here's a list I'll mail to, Rob. Let's get the right product.
Unless you're dying to mail to it.
Yeah,
I couldn't
really
help it. what? Yeah, a lot of people are dying to get on this list. Okay, let's look at this again. They're a member of DMA.
Well, read the list out because they may not be able to read the background.
Funeral directors.
Tell them what the 123 stands for.
Oh, that's the section catalog in the SRD.
Yeah, the index is probably 200 pages long.
Quantity and rental rates, they're received as of April of 91. Total list is 29,000. Price per 1,000 is $50. You can select phone number, fax. I've got a lot of information. Phone numbers, fax number is $10 extra. States, $3 extra. Number of employees, SCF, zip code, that's extra. The minimum order, they don't have a number order. They have a minimum order of $175. Pat?
This fax number, it occurs to me that you could use direct response through a fax and you don't even have to pay for postage. I mean, if you're a local, and you could get a service bureau, that'd be a local phone call, so there's no even phone charges on a fax machine. Has anyone in here tried that?
Yeah, and a lot of people don't like to get unsolicited faxes. As a matter of fact, several states have passed laws.
It is illegal now.
But it's a good thought, at least you're thinking.
I thought about doing it, trying one, and I finally got myself in the
chair. One of my subscribers to the Video Marketing Letter produced a videotape. He's a funeral director, and he did produce a videotape for funeral directors and sent a letter out, tested it, and had pretty good response. His tape was $3.95, and it was to show funeral directors how to provide a better service and get more money for what they were doing. And it was a very good tape, too.
Ted?
Thank you. I think there are a couple of exceptions to never go beyond 90 days. Now, I'm the biggest believer of all in the using only hotline names because they're going to be your best names. But, for instance, a year and a half ago, I wrote a headline for a book called The Insider's Guide to Complete Asset Protection. And I wrote a headline, and the headline is How to Make Yourself Judgment-Proof for a Space Ad. And we ran the ad, and the ad just pulled fantastic results in a financial publication, the Wall Street Journal, and we tested in the Business Advocate and Nation's Business. And I converted that space ad into a direct mail piece. And I wanted to, we felt that there were a couple of other books coming out and other reasons I was going to sell my company and so on. And I want to spend $1 million in advertising in 3 months. So When we did the first direct mail test, the direct mail test was so good, such a huge winner as far as a multiple of cost to sales, that we were looking for lists of people who fit our profile, lists like the Blanchard list. So then we were going out with names. If the universe was small, we were then going out to older than 90-day names. So it really depends on where you're at and what your goals are. Sometimes you can break the rules if you know what the rules are. Why this seminar is so good, you find out what the rules are, but there are times when you break the rules when you in certain circumstances.
And let me go back. That brought to mind one other thing on this Blanchard list. Again, this is older Blanchard Investors Master File. They're people that are age 61. If you were going to test in two states, what two states would you test in?
California and Texas.
California and Texas? Arizona and Florida?
Some states are more prosperous than others.
Okay.
No, because sometimes you might not want to sell to Mississippi, or you might not even be worth your while to mail to a state like Arkansas, Mississippi, or some other state if the people in that state don't fit your profile.
Okay, can you all see this? This is Physicians Mutual Database Enhanced. This came out of the insurance section in the FRDS. Location, again, Physicians Mutual Insurance, list manager, there you've got that. Description, Physicians Mutual Database Enhanced, 41% men, list source is 50% direct mail, 50% space ads. Quantity and rental rates, you've got the list here. Okay, the total list, this is two years out, is 2 million. Children to 12 years. I'm assuming that means they can figure out how many kids they have. Now, these should be, I don't think they purchase children. Purchase collectibles, diet, donors by type, gardening, home decorating, VCRs. Anybody see that? How many are there? 134,000 for VCRs. Investments, 100,000. Retired, 136,000. Boating. These are physicians that have probably insured their boat. 13,000. Where's Chris? That might be a list to think about. Exercise and fitness, crafts and sewing, pets, RV owners, reading, fishing, celebs. Okay, they've got 1 month hotline. You've got $15 extra. 3 month hotline, so you can go out. So you've got 30 days, 90 days. You can do an income select. Anybody find that useful? Sex, zip code, et cetera, et cetera. Minimum order of $5,000 for obsessors.
I have a question here. Other than the word sex, did anybody else understand a thing that Karen said then?
No. Oh, come on.
Yeah, say that again, a little bit slower.
Say what again?
Starting with selections.
Okay.
Thing, we take it for granted. It's like this. Once you buy a list, it's easy. Once you do it once, it's easy. You just pick up the phone and say, this is what I want. But the first time you do it, you do want to take advantage of selections. You know, I said that I write offers primarily for men because I resonate with men. I am a man. And that's because of that, I would probably, in most cases, choose to select my list by sex. I wish I could write an offer for women. I mean, I wish I can, but I cannot understand women. You can ask my wife. Yes.
Here's the testimony.
But because of that, I'm not going to go beyond something I don't understand. And that's why you want selections. I mean, a minute ago, they said, why would you just want to sell to one state? Well, obviously, if you only have a limited budget, don't you want to pick the people who are most likely to buy first? There are some states in our country that are doing real well. They have real good economies. The people there have above average incomes. You know, it's like in Arkansas, I can hire somebody to work for me for all day for $20 or less per day. Can you do that in New York City? In most cases, not. You can't hire somebody for an hour in New York City to come over to your place and work. Well, for that very reason, you may not want to send an offer to the people in Arkansas, because a lot of people here don't make enough money to respond to your offer. And it also has to do with the pricing. If I'm going to price something for a region like Arkansas or Mississippi or Louisiana, where people's per capita income is about a third of what it is nationwide, I'm going to change my pricing. So the selections are important, more than just sex or state or zip code. You need to keep that in mind, especially if you're working on a limited budget. Working on a limited budget where you're trying to generate enough capital from your test to roll the thing out on a huge basis, What you want is as much success as quick as you can get it. Get as much success as quick as you can get it. And the best way to do that is go after your best prospects first. Well, that's assuming that you've tested your offer and your offer is right and you got enough postage on it. And the worst thing to do is to send something to your best prospects first that is so bad that they'll never do business with you. If they ever get an envelope from you again, they'll drop it in the mail or send it to their attorney general. So when you got everything right, go after your best prospects first.
I can select the people that have purchased most recently. We've got a one-month hotline for $15 extra. I can get those people over 55 years old. I can get them that have made $100,000 plus. I can get men, and what else would be good? I can get them by specific SCF, so I can send them to Fort Lauderdale or Boca Raton or Phoenix or wherever it is that I want to send them. And so what I can do is I can make a select of within that. I mean, if you add up all those numbers, you've got a lot of different kinds of selects that you can do. And it may cost you a little extra to get those people when you order the list, but it may be worth it because your person's more qualified, and you can do different things to make them more qualified. Is that better?
This is a 1991 book.
Right, this is
right.
An old book.
That's because we ripped it up.
Now, the reason that we use an old book is that we decided a year ago or 2 years ago when we started doing this, we needed the book. The book comes out monthly or quarterly?
Six times a year.
Six times a year is only $400 per book, something like that. So we said, we'll get the book, go through it every month. Well, I got the book and spent 4 days just trying to work through the first 200 pages and had all these ideas of people to write stuff to. And then I said, you know, all I got to do is call this broker and they'll do the same thing for me and won't charge me anything. And that's why I haven't bought a new book since 1990 or whatever the date is on this book.
And that's why I've got the April of 92.
That's why we don't have anything 90 days old.
Right, I just haven't ripped it up. Right.
So are we supposed to find a list of a starving audience and then develop a product for it, or do we find, or do we take our product and try and find an audience for it? Which comes first?
I'll tell you what, which comes first. Unless you're a Ted Nicholas and can afford to lose $350,000 without being in too bad a shape, you're better off finding a market first and giving them a product. And once you get to the point where you can afford to lose $350,000, you can forget that and lose $350,000 three or four more times, and then you'll kind of fall into the habit of always. Now, what Ted does now, you know, he says he develops products because he knows the market's out there. Well, he knows that market out there. He is resonating with that market because he's been selling the books to that market for 20-some-odd years. So it's not like he develops a product and says, who's a buyer? Every time he develops a product, he has in his mind, he could probably draw you a picture.
Sure.
I mean, he could draw you a police artist sketch of who's going to buy, who's going to be the first purchaser of this book. He'll know you. He can tell you how old they are, how many kids they have, what type of neighborhood they live in, what kind of car they drive, more than likely. He doesn't just say, well, that's a grand idea. Let's do that. He knows in his heart that people like this already exist because they've spent lots and lots of money with them. So you have a good question, but for most of the people in this room, unless you have a lot of money to risk on an investment, the best thing to do is to find the target audience first and then come up with a product for that.
If you're going to make a selection from that list of, say, two or three of those boating or do-it-yourself or whatever, because they fit your product, would you then have to do some kind of a purging to get rid of duplications?
And really this list is too general.
Yeah.
Physicians are the worst things in the world to sell something to because they never open their own mail at their office.
Yep.
And they rarely open their mail at home, and they don't want you to open their home mail.
But what I'd be wanting to get to, though, is would it be an additional cost to do that? Would the list broker do that for you, the purging?
I'm sorry, I
would the list broker be able to pull out who bought the children 2 to 12? Or I'm sure they would be, otherwise they wouldn't have the specific numbers like that.
Yeah, the other thing, and the point is good, is this a list of physicians?
No.
No, what is it? Right, it's an insurance company. These are people that have bought insurance products. And it's called Physicians Mutual. Roger?
You started to get on to what my question was. From the name of the list, I don't see how they've made all the different categories out of that list. Do they send out questionnaires?
I don't know how they compiled the list. I mean, if they bought insurance products, these are probably people that are
Now, what you're seeing here is a very, very, very abbreviation of the information on the list.
Right.
The SRDS would be 10 volumes, 10,000 pages long, if you got this. Now, if you wanted more information on this list, the list broker would say, I'll send you a card.
The card
would go into great detail what the people in this list bought, how many bought recently. But this is just to give people who are looking in a general direction a specific idea of what lists are available.
And in case it's not clear, the SRDS is a catalog. It's a catalog of lists. And so you're getting as much information as you can out of the catalog.
It's more like an index than a catalog. It's just a 2,000-page index that you can use to go find more specific information about a list.
It's called a data card.
In your folder, how many people have the gray folder that we handed out on day one? If you look that look in there, you'll see a card that says List Works on the bottom of it or halfway through. Actually, it's going to be a copied page that looks like... looks like this. And when you call a list broker, they take this information off their computer and print out on a little card that has their names on it and tells you about it. This particular one, it breaks it down in great detail. This is Coville's on Antiques and Collectibles. There's 60,000 active U.S. subscribers. This information, monthly newsletter, tracks the collectibles and antiques market for savvy collectors and dealers. The people who are on
you get average
list.
Unit of sales, so you find out how much they've...
Average unit of sales, $36 per year. That's for a subscription price. It's 50% men, which means it's also 50% women. They're 100% direct mail. The minimum order is $5,000. You can get them on pressure sensitive or four across Cheshire or mag tape. And they do require a sample mailing piece. So once your list broker does the work for you, they just send you a bunch of cards and you kind of sit there and you decide, well, I'll try this one or I'll try that one. Or you just look at them and don't do anything.
Brian?
I have two questions. Number one, because credit cards are so important to us in selling our product, can we find out how many of them have credit cards?
You can say, I only want the people who purchase with credit cards. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, you're better off going for a list where the only thing they did was purchase with credit card from direct mail. You want a very, very specific list like that. You want a list, you might want to write this down, list requirements. The major requirements are they purchased via direct mail using credit cards. And then after that, you want to know what they purchased, how much they paid for it. But that helps you mold what you're going to sell to them. Because if you know what they just recently bought, and you know how they bought it, and you know what they paid for it, you might even be wise to buy one and test it out and see if there are problems with it so you can create a product that addresses their problems.
This isn't going to sound right, but I have a couple of questions about sex.
Where's Gary Halbert? He can answer these questions.
Okay. First of all, does anybody here, I can ask you or anybody, have any feeling, even if you select the men, how many Karens opening their husband's mail? Are you really getting...
No, I just did that once.
Are you getting 99% men if you select men? Are you getting 30%? And the same is true the other direction.
What you can do is that you can choose married or single. And depending by age bracket and demographics and the people you're sending them to, it's going to depend on whether it gets opened by the wife. There's a sure way you can make sure it's opened by the wife, and that's you can say to the man's name only.
Right.
Or you can put it in a pink envelope with blue, flowery blue handwritten address that says... for his eyes only, or personal. Personal gets opened by the woman first.
The other thing to know is that...
Don't do things like that because you're going to make the person...
Is there any general bias of more women opening men's mail or more men opening women's mail?
I don't know. Do you want to take a poll in here? How many wives open their husband's mail first?
I don't, except that one time.
How many men open their wives' mail? I mean, how many people in this room open their spouse's mail? Not many.
Okay, there are a couple. The other thing is, to be perfectly honest, a lot of things that come to Steve in the mail, I don't really give a rip about. If it looks like it's if it's for a PC, for a...
On these lists, they usually have dummy names in some of them.
They seed them. That's what it's called, seed.
They seed them.
We were
and
discussing
how
this.
Many in a list of 5,000 are the dummies?
It's an insignificant amount, but it's enough to know that if you're using that name over and over again, they're going to catch it. And someone asked about last night about, you know, well, can't you just run a list and then use it over and over again? You know, in this business, like anything else, there's a huge issue of integrity. And, you know, I'm not going to want to do business with someone who I think is going to just use a name over and over. That's valuable. People have paid money to get names. And, you know, it's really important that that your integrity is on the line, and you don't want to do that. And I was saying to somebody, you know, fine, so it's going to cost you $125 or $150 to rent 5,000 names, and if you want to do them over and over again. Well, if you make $5,000 or $10,000 on that list, you know, $150 is small potatoes. You just don't want to mess with it. And, you know, there are things that are seeded, and, you know, and again, it's not worth it.
Yeah, list rental's a bargain. And the way federal laws are changing, you don't want to ever get convicted of a copyright violation. We looked at a couple of dry lists. I made a copy of a list I found interesting in the book. Here's one. You see the titles on this? I'm going to read them to you. This is under the travel category of the book. There are hundreds of categories. Something right here is something called Hideaways International. 70,000 people. Hideaways International is a resort-type vacation where you go to a very exotic place in the world and you take your little loved one and y'all have a good time for a week, and it costs lots and lots of money. A very interesting list. Another list would be Holiday Inn's Great Rate Travelers. These might be business people who travel a lot, and if you have a product for people, or if you figure out who these folks are, you might be able to come up with a product that they have.
Look at the age on that one, though.
What's the age on that list?
24 to 54.
24, yeah, that's too wide. How about Holy Land and European Tours? That tells you something about these people, doesn't it? And if you can resonate with those people, if you've been on a Holy Land or European Tour, you might have something that these people want. You know, a friend of mine...
But you also don't necessarily want to mail to the pastors and tour leaders, because one can assume that they may not have a whole lot of money.
We also have Inspiration Cruises here. International Living. Anybody here subscribe to International Living? International Living, I subscribe to. There's a very interesting publication. The type of people who live there who read it are very interesting people to mail to. Talking about resonating with people, there's a subscriber to my newsletter who was a Marine in World War II and took a hill with a group of other Marines. And he and many of the people who were survivors went back to that hill 2 years ago and reenacted, or just went back and got in the holes and laid against the trees that they were in. And he took a video camera and interviewed all these people. And he called me and said, I got this great tape. Who can I sell it to? Can I sell it to Discovery Channel? Or who would be interested in this? And I said, well, how many other Marines were there with you? And he said, oh, about 5,000. I said, how many are still alive? And he said, about 1,500. I said, what about the guys on the other side? How many people were there? And he said, I don't know. I said, well, what you've got is a product you might be able to sell to both sides. And he sent a direct mail letter to all 1,500 remaining Marines. He said 900 of them bought the tape.
Good response.
Now think about it. Now, my father's no longer alive, and he was in World War II in Korea. You know how much I would love to have a tape of people who fought side by side, who were interviewed while they're, you know, in the foxhole where he was, to say, yes, he was right here beside us, and we were sitting here, and bullets went by, and he did this. You think you could sell something like that if you could identify either the people, the survivors of the family? So what you have to do is resonate with the people on these lists. I mean, I was looking at these lists, and kind of, every time I look at these lists, it gives me an idea of a product that I could sell to people. Now, here's an interesting list. Halbert's International Travelers. Does anybody know what this list is? Well, Gary Halbert came up with this idea a long time ago that he's going to sell you your family crest, right? So you get a letter, Dear Mr. Myers, we've long researched this. We found your family crest, and we'd like to sell you a plaque with a family crest. And after Gary made money on that, he sold the company to somebody else. And the person who's doing it now, Dennis Haflinger, he has what's Halbert International Tours. And what you do is you get a letter from Myers, Ireland, or Myers, Germany, from the village of whatever your last name is, inviting you over for Myers Week or Myers Month to come spend time with them at the Myers Bar and get your Myers T-shirt. And when you get off, when you take your tour, everybody in the bus, the last name is the same as yours, and when you get off the bus, there are a bunch of people saying, welcome to Myersville, singing the Myers International tune, and hand you a Myers T-shirt. And they're the people who are on this list. They're the people who have gone for that. We called them and asked them if we could have their catalogs to hand out in this seminar. And they said no, because they didn't want to reveal their marketing strategy. And what they do is they buy phone books of all the cities, they take out all the Myers, write one letter, Dear Mr. Myers, and send that same letter to all the Myers, and then write the same letter for the Joneses, and send the same letter to the Joneses and the Smiths and whatever. And they've got, I don't know how many surnames in the United States, 2,200, 2,300. And they can do it over and over and over. The catalog we got was a T-shirt. And on the front cover of the catalog, it's somebody wearing a T-shirt with, you know, Myers on it, Myers Bar and Grill somewhere in Ireland. And every single page, these guys had clothes on it, but they had printed catalogs specific to just your last name. How many people here got a catalog like that? Anybody else get a catalog? Yeah, a few people like that. Did anybody feel like they wanted to buy something from that catalog? I mean, it's a neat marketing strategy. Yeah, that's what Gary Halbert came up with the idea and sold it. Right. Right. Anyway, that's what we do with these books. Now, we're going to take a lunch break here and come back and talk later. Karen's got one more thing she wants to say.
All right, I'll just introduce this. We don't have to talk about it now. But one of the things we've been talking about primarily consumer lists, and I want to just talk for 1 minute here. Well, I'll do my best. Sewerts is executives. This is PPI, Phillips Publishing. This is their newsletter. This is the newsletter list. And you can just look at some of the lists. Now, I personally don't subscribe to any of these, but there are a lot of people to do. If you're looking for business-to-business lists, there's a whole other Pandora's box full of information on business-to-business. Now, you've got Oil and Gas Investor, Oil World Regional Magazines, Petroleum Engineer. I think Phillips is getting newsletters for just about everything that there is these days. Just look down here, bank operation executives, communication executives, computer network executives, defense executives, executive buyers, media executives, PR news, international executives, video executives. I mean, the population we're looking for is over, what did we say, over 50, over 40? So chances are you've got your executives. Hopefully they're the ones that are subscribing to this, and they are the ones that are reading it. Now, you can take a person like Ted and ask your question, what's going to take to get through the system in Ted's business to get a business-to-business direct mail promotion opened? Ted?
Yes, I'd just like to, if I may, I think it's appropriate before we break for lunch to just make a counterbalancing point. You know, I'm sitting here listening, and there's excellent points about the preparing for doing a mailing, and I hope all of you are taking good notes. And I know direct mail will be the workhorse for most of you as far as producing sales and revenue. But I would like to point out that there is nothing magical about direct mail. It's simply part, the way I see it, an overall strategy of direct marketing. Because it's a way of getting directly to the consumer. It's one of the ways. Some people think it's the best way. But the real goal is to make money. Everybody's here to make money, aren't they? And I personally mail millions of pieces every year using a lot of the techniques that Karen is sharing with you. But I personally like space advertising and card deck advertising and package inserts much better than I do direct mail, because in direct mail, there's at least 100 ways where the information that you're relying on is invalid information. All the way from, when you look at SRDS, list owners are presenting their lists in the most favorable light. And a lot of the list owners, unfortunately, are not open and honest with what they're portraying. So that the information you're starting with, if that's erroneous, any conclusions you draw are going to be erroneous. And if you go out with a mailing that's just for openers, then you've got the mail house that throws away mail, you've got the letter shop that screws you, you've got the post office that throws away mail, you've got all kinds of problems, so wonder the mail ever gets through. So at minimum, I would just caveat, just be skeptical when you're doing direct mail. Work with be a positive skeptic, and try to do as much homework as you can, that's all you can do. Now on the side of space, and I started my business with space before I started doing heavy mailings, you basically are in control of a lot more elements there because, in other words, I'd like to just present to you there's another alternative in direct marketing. You're using many of the same techniques you are in direct mailing, but where you have control over what happens, you have a much higher degree of control. The only time we've been screwed, and we've been screwed every which way there is in direct mail, that I know of in space is when one of the magazines that we paid $10,000 for an ad to went under before they delivered the publication in that contained our ad. in 20 years. In other words, magazines are audited. You get a copy of a tear sheet. You know the ad ran. If they do it wrong, we call for what's called a make good. They have to do it over at their expense and so forth. So I would just like to not confuse you, but just advise you to be very cautious. I approach direct mail very cautiously. I know in my current mailings for my seminar, for instance, in Florida, I have to find a new letter shop, a new printer, and I'm checking with the local people, which printers can you trust, other direct mailers there. I did a lot of homework as to the printer here that's doing Bill's mailing. A good printer is vital. A good printer that you can trust and it's honest. A person to work with like Karen is very important. So I'm sitting here burning with the desire to share with you the fact that I hate to see anyone not succeed for reasons that they're unaware of. In other words, there's nothing wrong with going out and failing, but the worst is you go out and the thing doesn't work, you have no idea, and it's totally beyond your control because the list you got was older than they said it was. It didn't comprise of people that were supposed to buy what they didn't buy. In other words, you don't have honest information. So I just wanted to throw that in.
No, I think those are really valid. Thank you.
Right. A key word that Ted said, though, it is the $10,000 a page. It sometimes costs to place a full-page ad. Direct mail is something you can get in relatively expensive, build up your cash flow, and then use it to do exactly what Ted does. I mean, we don't do just direct mail. All of you know that. Many of you respond either through the classified ads we use in some magazines, the display ads we use in others. You know that we have a home shopping show on satellite. You also probably know that we do TV commercials. We do full-length programs. Marketing is more than just one thing. We like direct mail because it is very, very targeted, and we can reach a very small, narrow group of people that we want to reach. We know who's going to be reading our offer. And the one problem we had with magazine ads is that you don't know exactly who's going to be reading it or who's not going to be reading it. It's the same problem with TV. If you run a full-page display ad, you're going to get a lot of attention. And so if you're doing a real good program like Ted is, where absolutely everything you're doing is above board, you're going to get good attention. But if you screw up, you're going to have people knocking on your door. You're going to have feds knocking on your door saying, can you back this up? Can you back this up? So, and you need to do the same thing in direct mail. And what Ted says is exactly right. What we're going to do is we're going to take a lunch break. And we're going to do a long lunch today because we really hadn't had an opportunity to get out and see Hot Springs and get out and walk. What I want you to do at lunch is when you go someplace at lunch, look at the people who are sitting around you and also walking up down the streets and think of them as potential customers. Say, I want you to mentally say, would I like to try to sell something to this person with a direct mail letter? And what would it be that they would be interested in? So if you go eat lunch at a fast food restaurant, look around you and look at the different types of people who are sitting around you and think about what type of approach you would use to sell them something, and then think, what is it in their lifestyle that they might want? When we get back from lunch, the people who are going to do the computer training, we'll announce how to get over there, and then later on this afternoon, we're going to do all products. We're going to spend the whole afternoon coming over with products. I'm going to show you how you can take a book that I've got here that you can purchase. This is a book that's commonly sold. Do you see the price on it? Can everybody see the price? Well, the title is How to Retire with Money. Interesting title, right? Might be interested in the people we showed on our list, the people over 40 who... How to Retire with Money. The price of the book is $1. Now, this book, you can't give it away for a dollar. But if you were to package it up, and we're going to talk about packaging and timing this afternoon, if you were to package it up in something like this, in a confidential report, in a notebook, in a loose leaf binder with other information, you could sell it for, there's probably no upper end on this product, depending on how much perceived value you add to it. And we're going to talk about how to add perceived value. We're going to talk about premiums. We're going to talk about packaging a product and how to come up with the right product. So let's be back here at 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock. Thank you. What we're going to try to come up with this afternoon are several viable products. And one of the things about products is a product is not a single item. A product entails everything from the item to the premiums to the packaging to the box it's in to all the little pieces that make the thing together. Also something called the back end. Many of you have heard the word back end before in relation to the marketing. We're going to talk about that here also. A lot of times you can afford to sell things after you've done three or four projects. You can afford to sell things at a loss or near loss just because you have a very strong or effective back end. An example of this, and I've mentioned this a couple of times, is we sell a package that you have mentioned in your little gray folder that we call the watch offer. And if you look at that offer, I wish you'd pull it out right now if you've got it in front of you. That's exactly the way we mailed it. And in it, if somebody said, what are you selling? I'd say a videotape. But that's not what you get when you spend your money with us. You get a videotape, a 900-page book, and three reports. Plus, you get a free magnifying glass, and you get it all packed in a box. And you also get our phone number, a cover letter from us, some nice shipping labels, and a real good sense of confidence when you get the product. Okay, if you look at that offer on the very last page of the offer, the way I wrote this offer up, you can read the first 7 pages, and I'm never trying to sell you anything. I'm just educating you. Because unless you're educated about what I'm selling, you'll never know until you'll never want to buy it. By the way, look at the one that has a picture of the watch instead of the other one, because that's the one I want to, either one of them's got the same offer. Go to page 8 of that offer. You'll see several bullets that tells you what you get. It's also on the order form, the things that you get when you buy, just in case people forget. And what you're going to get when you buy I don't want anybody in the room to buy this product because I no longer have the rights to sell it. I'm just going to tell you what it is. Yeah, page 4, I'm sorry. I'm thinking in computer terms. Page 4. Page 4. You see the bullets? And it tells you what you're going to get. It says, okay, here's the good part. You can get everything I mentioned, including the introduction to collecting and investing watches videotape. That's it. The complete price and identification guide to watches book. That's this. A confidential list of watch buyers, which is basically one sheet of paper. The watch buyer's crib card. That's this. And we're going to pass these out to show you how easy it is to make a premium. You get all this for $89.95. You read on further in the PS. A lot of people, when they read a letter, they'll read the headline, they look at the picture captions, they turn it over to the PS. And if you don't grab them there, you don't have them. So the final PS, the first PS says, as I mentioned this letter, I'm always interested in making offers on any watch you might wish to sell. If you have something interesting, give me a call at my office. Now, do you think I really want people to call me, or do you think that this legitimizes me as being someone who really is involved in what I'm saying in this offer? Well, actually, I do want people to call me if they'll sell me watches just like I described in here, where I'll pay them 20 cents on the dollar for what it's worth. And the second PPS says, if you place your order by phone, I'll include a handy pocket-sized magnifier perfect for getting a closer look at all those watches you'll find on your next treasure hunt. Because that's what I want them to do. I want them to call and order by the phone. I don't want them to send the paper in because they'll forget about it.
John London, is John here?
He's right here.
Are you still going to do the computer course?
I think I need this more than the computer.
Okay, that's fine. What about L.G. Ozrowski? Are you going to do the computer course?
Yeah.
Okay, I need you out the back here right now then.
Right now.
Thank you. Okay, like I said on that PPS, now of course this is a Gary Halbert technique, and almost everybody who subscribes to Gary Halbert's letter and has read Maximum Money, they write letters just like this. As a matter of fact, if you get a direct mail offer from anybody that looks like this, that has two PPSs on the back of it, you can bet that they are now or once a Gary Halbert subscriber. But anyway, the final line says, this is yours free when you order by calling our toll-free 24-hour order line 1-800. Now, I made two mistakes in that last sentence. I had one real good hot word, and that was free. I had two mistakes, and that was the word order and order line. I shouldn't use those two words because they're not positive words for the offer. The offer did work. We rewrote the offer, and unfortunately, I was contacted by an insane individual, who offered me too much money for the rights to market this, and he caught me on a weak moment, and I kind of laughed and said, sure. And the check showed up in the mail 3 days later, and I was kind of out of this business. But that's the way it works. This is what a premium looks like, and we're going to talk about building a complete product. The product is not the tape. I would have a hard time selling this tape alone. So the product is not the tape. The product is not the book. You can go down to Walden bookstores and buy the book. Why pay me $89 for the book when you can buy it at Walden's for $18? And obviously the product is not the premiums. The product is the combination of everything and the confidence put in the letter. When you get ready to put together your product, remember that it is not a single item. It is a combination of items that will fulfill the wants of the people you're sending this to. And you have to resonate with those people. What will they want? You know, most of you don't know anything at all about collecting watches. But if we try to put enough information together to make you feel like you could be an expert. I mean, the book really helps. The way to get a book that's in current print is to open up the front cover and inside it'll mention the name of the publisher. Call them up, say, look, I'm interested in buying large quantities of your book. What can you do for me? And when you call the publisher up, most of them are located in New York, you'll get some secretary that says, I'll put you over to our wholesale sellers, and you'll speak to some nice lady who'll say, great, we're really interested in selling stuff to you. How many do you think you want? And you say, I don't know, at least 100, maybe 5,000. She'll go, great, let me send you our catalog. Are there any other books you're interested in? And the reason they want to know that is because they are in the business of selling books. And that's how you become a wholesaler for books. Now, on small scale level, you have to pay about 50% of the list price for this book. If you're going to sell in larger volumes than that, you will probably want to contact the author himself or tell the publisher to do a special run for you. But you're not going to want to do that, because how many are you going to sell? How many books did we have to buy before we could send this offer out?
One.
And they sent it to us free. They also sent us several other books that I'm going to show you later on. And they now bombard our offices twice a month with the latest wholesale book catalog of books that they're coming to press or about to press, and they want us to sell for them. And that's what you want to do, is get yourself in a position where people send you products, or at least samples of products they want you to sell. And how do you get them to send you samples? You call them up and tell them you want to sell their products. Right? You call them up, you tell them you want to sell, and they say, super, I'm going to send you our wholesale catalog. Everywhere you go, every store you visit, every company, manufacturer, friend you visit, if you see a catalog on their counter, on his desk, on his coffee table, write down the phone number. When you get home, call them and say, listen, send me your wholesale catalog. Because you're looking for products for this market you've identified, and you've got to look everywhere. Now again, if you just saw the watch book, you'd say, that's a pretty good product, but what can I do with it? But what you do is bundle it up with several other products.
So I'd like to reiterate, too, that one of the things that you've sold in your ad is a certain expectation on how wonderful this product is. And so when the person gets the fulfillment package, you want it to exceed their expectations, because you don't want them to go, I got ripped off, this is a sleazy deal, I want my money back. You want it to exceed their expectations, and you want them to be interested in buying the next thing. If they got more than they expected, then I'm always happy when there's more in there than I expect. And that keeps your returns down.
That's exactly right. When the box that we gave you when you came in here is this box you see on the table. This size box is what UPS delivers to our customers. And it weighs about half as much as one you've got, but we use a large box. And we do have extra space in the box, so you know what we put in it? Extra stuff. We always have a cover letter. We thank them. We update them. We provide them additional information. We tell them that some of the watches that we feature in the tape, one of the watches that I bought for $20 is now worth $1,000. And we tell them which watch it was and where to look. We tell them some other interesting things and trends. We also provide them free subscriptions to different magazines. Free subscriptions that the magazines themselves offer to anybody. There are a lot of business magazines that offer free subscriptions. You ask them up, say, look, can I make copies of these subscription cards for my friends? And they say, sure. And that's what you do. You make copies and give them out to everybody. And since you started your letter with dear friend, they qualify as friends. I want to pass these out just to show you how easy it is to make premiums. Pass two stacks out. There should be, I guess, enough here. This is a very valuable premium. And you notice that in the letter I spent at least a paragraph or two describing this premium. This is a pocket-sized card, so that this is what we call our secret weapon. In the letter I said, this is my secret weapon for buying bargain watches. Carry this in my pocket. If I go to a flea market or yard sale and I see a watch, I have no idea what it's worth. I pull out my secret weapon, look down the list, it gives me a suggested retail price. If I can buy it for a tenth of that, that's 10 cents on the dollar, I buy it. Obviously, it doesn't cost us. I don't believe it costs us more than a penny and a half to have these printed up. But think about the perceived value it adds to our product. Tremendous perceived value, and that's what you want to do. What we're going to do this afternoon is talk about different products, and I'm going to show a few books first And then I kind of want to brainstorm with everybody and get your mind to thinking about how to create and come up with products. Remember the one we looked at right before lunch? This book for a dollar? If I held up my hand, I said, I got this great book for a dollar. Anybody want to buy it? A dollar. Well, we know for a dollar it can't be worth much, right? I mean, for a dollar you can't even buy a Coke in this building. It's $2. It's true. I mean, who's going to pay a dollar for this book? And who's going to read it if they paid a dollar for it? Now, if I held up this book with a different cover on it and say, look, folks, this is the real stuff. In this notebook, in this loose-leaf notebook, there's information how to retire with money. And it really, really works. And there's testimonials in here, and there's maps, and there's secret inside information, stuff that you've never heard before, and I guarantee it really works. And along with this, I'm going to provide a videotape. And it's basically an interview with me and some people who've done this. And along with that, I'm going to provide you some other things that you've never heard about. Some banking regulations that are really going to help you. Some tools and other things. How much could I sell it for? Gary Halbert would say $1,500. And you laugh, but I know people who pay more than $1,500 for a loose-leaf notebook of 100 pages or more. And you know, my printer's here, and he can tell you what it costs to print 100 pages in large volume, but to print this and put this notebook together is less than $3 or $4. The notebook itself is going to cost you a dollar, and the paper in it is going to cost you $2 probably. So you have a product that you may have $5 actual cost in the physical product that you might be able to sell for $1,500. If that sounds exorbitant, think about computer software. Most of the people in here have computers, have bought computer programs like Microsoft Word for Windows or Ventura Publisher. And basically what you get is four computer disks that are worth 33 cents a piece and a $2 manual, and you pay $500 for something like that. And what you're paying for is value or perceived value. And if you took the advice in this $1 book and applied it, it would probably be worth a lot more than $1,500 to you. But unfortunately, if you only paid a dollar for it, you're probably not going to read it, much less apply it. I mean, who's going to believe the stuff you read in a $1 book? I mean, it's just not very believable. But putting it in a different cover and packaging it up differently, not only is it believable, but it would be very, very readily sellable, especially to one of the lists that you showed this morning, the Blanchard list. Thank you.